Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, October 18th, 2022. Joel.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Joel chapter 1. Tuesday night, our study in the Old Testament book, Joel. Joel chapter 1. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And as we witness the wheels coming off the wagon in these last days, we thank you, sir, that Jesus Christ controls history. In this worldwide pandemic, Jesus Christ controls history. In the apostasy of Client Nation USA, we thank you that Jesus Christ controls history. And we thank you, sir, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word. That spiritual food, that manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Joel chapter 1, let's start the corrected translation of verse 5. Wake up. This is Joel's command to all the people in the southern kingdom, Judah, a client nation to God, a client nation under the fourth cycle of national discipline and on the verge of the fifth cycle of national discipline. And he says, wake up, because if you don't wake up, then we will be destroyed and removed as a client nation to God under the fifth cycle of discipline. This is why I chose to teach Joel, because this is where we are in the United States of America. This command is to Christians in America, wake up. People in this country, wake up. Wake up, you drunkards, and weep. Wail, howl like an animal. All the ones who keep on drinking wine on the basis of the new wine, because it has been cut off from your mouth. Because the Gentile nation, Assyria, has invaded my land, Israel, mighty and innumerable. Its teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he has the fangs of a lioness. He, the Lord, has put my vine to devastation and my fig tree to a splintered stump. Stripping, he has made it completely bare, and he is caused to cast it down, throw it away, divine judgment. Their branches have been caused to become white. This is the fourth cycle of national discipline on the southern kingdom, Judah. The result? Economic disaster. Verse 8. Wail like a virgin girded with sackcloth, grieving for the bridegroom of her youth, who has died right after their wedding. Verse 9. The gift offering, the minkah, and the drink offering, the nesek, are cut off from the house of the Lord. And the priests mourn the ministers of the Lord. Now, we haven't exegeted all that, but that's what it's going to look like when we do. In Joel 1, 9 and 10, divine judgment in the locust plague resulted in economic disaster and shutting down the ritual system of worship. The nation, the southern kingdom, Judah, was in apostasy, just like the United States of America in apostasy today, and religious degeneracy. And boy, we have a lot of that. The priests are mourning because the locust plague has totally shut down their worship. It was the ritual plan of God in the age of Israel, and the ritual worship has been shut down. Their gift offerings have been shut down, the minkah. Their drink offerings have been shut down, the nesek. God stopped their religious hypocrisy and religious degeneracy. You see, even in the age of Israel, which was the ritual plan of God, God didn't want their sacrifices. He wanted their hearts. And Christians do not know that in America today. God wants your hearts. God wants you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. That's what God wants. Doesn't want you to. So you show up in a church, sit your patootie down. That's a good word. It's not a four-letter word. You put your patootie down. Big deal. Some people come and put their patootie down in a church, and they're in the cosmic system. Other people do, and they're living the spiritual life. It's not what you do. It's what's going on in here. Some assemble in a church for the teaching of the Word of God. Some do it in the cosmic system. Others do it living the spiritual life. It's not what you do. It's what you think in here. That's the issue. Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength? That's what God wants. And that's what He wanted in the age of Israel. God didn't want their sacrifices. He wanted their hearts. And we saw that in Mark 12, 28 to 34, Hebrews 10, 5 to 9. Joel 1, 9 says the gift offering and the drink offering are cut off from the house of the Lord. The gift offering is the minkah, from the verb manak, which means to give a gift. So the noun minkah literally means a gift, a present. You might have it translated a grain offering. Terrible translation. Has nothing to do with a grain. Doesn't say grain. It says gift. Minkah is a gift offering. From the verb to give a gift. It should be a gift offering. It's not a meat offering. It's not a grain offering. It is a gift offering. So minkah means a gift, a present. The minkah is literally gift offering. The minkah offering is described in great detail in the Old Testament in Leviticus chapter 2, verses 1 to 16. In Leviticus 2:1, it says, now if a soul, nephesh, if a soul is caused or motivated to offer a gift offering. The minka is a voluntary offering. Third class condition says maybe he will make this gift offering, and maybe he won't. This presupposes several conditions. It presupposes, first of all, that the offerer is a believer. He has placed his faith in Jesus Christ. Secondly, that he has been taught Bible doctrine. He has grown up in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he has the right mental attitude for bringing this free will offering, this free will gift. And that is, he is in fellowship with God, he has positive volition, and he has metabolized doctrine in his heart. When the believer was in fellowship with God, his gift offering was accepted by the Lord. However, when the believer was out of fellowship with God, his gift offering was rejected by the Lord. When the believer was out of fellowship with God, then these offerings were simply ritual without reality. They didn't mean a damn thing to God. The minka offering was to signify occupation with Jesus Christ. That you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. That's the minka offering. But the reversionistic believer was in religious degeneracy. He was keeping the ritual, but there was no reality. And this is no different than what the Apostle Paul was teaching in the last days in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. In 2 Timothy 3, 5, Paul said that they have a superficial form of godliness. They're religious. They go to church once in a while when it's convenient. They go to church, they listen to a little bit of teaching, they say, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. But they have denied its power. No filling of the Spirit, no metabolized doctrine in their hearts. It is ritual without reality. So the same thing that Paul is teaching in 2 Timothy 3, 5 is what Joel is teaching. Ritual without reality is meaningless. Even in the Old Testament, under the ritual plan of God for Israel, God didn't desire sacrifices and offerings, but rather he desired for them to love him, with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, to execute his plan of grace. The Jews in Joel's day were very religious. But they were in reversionism, religious degeneracy, religious hypocrisy. They had been bringing thousands and thousands of offerings. They were keeping the ritual, but they were not walking humbly with God. There was no love for the Lord Jesus Christ in their hearts. So God cut off all their meaningless and useless sacrifices. And he did that through the locust invasion, the fourth cycle of national discipline, economic disaster. So the issue is not what you are doing, but what you are thinking in your soul. Again, the issue is not your works, but do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength? The gift offering taught the doctrine of propitiation from the standpoint of the person of Christ. The concept behind the minka or gift offering is that it takes a perfect gift to satisfy a perfect giver. The perfection of the gift is seen in the offering of fine flour. Leviticus 2:1. Now if a soul is caused to offer a gift offering to the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour. The fine flour speaks of the perfection of the gift, the impeccability, the sinless perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ in hypostatic union. It speaks of the perfect humanity of Jesus Christ. Through the incarnation and virgin birth, he came into the world free from Adam's imputed sin, free from the inherent sin of the old sin nature, and then proceeded to live a life on this earth totally free from personal sin. So the fine flour speaks of Christ's sinless perfection. It speaks of Jesus Christ as the bread of life. Jesus Christ is the only person who ever lived solely to fulfill the will of God the Father 100% of the time. He did not come to please people or to do the will of man. Rather, he came to do the will of the one who sent him, God the Father, 100% of the time. He concentrated on doing the will of the Father, the incarnation plan that the Father had for him, pleasing God the Father. And this is the principle on which every believer in Jesus Christ should operate. If we make pleasing God our goal, our objective, we will grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will have virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. Personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all mankind, occupation with Jesus Christ. Now you may say, isn't living your life as unto the Lord, isn't concentrating on pleasing God the Father, our goal 100%, isn't that too big of an order? Well, it is a big order. But by the grace and power of God, it's a slam dunk. Now, if you're not operating by the grace and power of God, it's impossible. But when you're operating by the grace and power of God, it's a slam dunk. Today in the church age, we are living in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. So God, in His infinite and matchless grace, has given us the unique spiritual life. The same spiritual life He gave to the Lord Jesus Christ in hypostatic union. This unique spiritual life includes the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. This indwelling of God the Holy Spirit provides the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit, the power to live this unique spiritual life, and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. This unique spiritual life can be lived beautifully, but only by God's grace and God's power. Only by the power of the filling of the Spirit, only by the power of metabolized doctrine in our hearts from the teaching ministry of the Spirit. So Leviticus 2:1 again says, His offering shall be of fine flour, and He shall pour oil on it. Now the one who brought the minka, or the gift offering, was instructed to pour oil on the fine flour. The fine flour speaks of the impeccability of Jesus Christ, His sinless perfection. And the oil speaks of God the Holy Spirit. So a couple of things. One, oil in Scripture often refers to God the Holy Spirit. And it refers to God the Holy Spirit in the minka offering. As the fine flour speaks of the impeccability of Jesus Christ, His sinless perfection, so the oil on the fine flour speaks of God the Holy Spirit, the sustaining ministry of the Spirit, and the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ in His hypostatic union. Two, The oil in the fine flour is shadow Christology. It's shadow Christology. Three, it speaks of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, indwelt and filled with the Spirit. The oil in the fine flour is shadow Christology. It speaks of the Messiah, Christ, indwelt and filled with the Spirit. Four, the Lord Jesus Christ was sustained in his humanity by God the Holy Spirit 100% of the time, from his very birth and then every 100% of the time during the incarnation. So the Lord Jesus Christ was sustained in his humanity by God the Holy Spirit during the entire period of the incarnation. Five, the ministry of the Spirit in sustaining the Messiah, Christ, was prophesied in the Old Testament. The ministry of the Spirit in sustaining the Messiah, Christ, was prophesied in the Old Testament in several passages in Isaiah. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11, first of all, verses 2 and 3. Isaiah 11, verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. This is the Messiah, Christ. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Then this was prophesied again in Isaiah 42. Turn over to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, verse 1. Isaiah 42, verse 1. Here is my servant, Jesus Christ, whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I am well pleased. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. Isaiah 42:1. It was also prophesied in Isaiah 61. Turn over to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, starting at verse 1, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the destitute. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's grace. Now all of that is prophecy of the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then from that point on is prophecy about the second advent of Jesus Christ and the day of vengeance of our God. The second advent of Jesus Christ, when he comes back, destroys all of the nations of the world gathered to go to war with him. to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. That second half is a prophecy of the second advent of Jesus Christ. Now, Isaiah 61, the prophecy of God the Holy Spirit sustaining the humanity of Christ. Jesus Christ used this in teaching. Turn over to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. I know some of you are shaking your head no. Well, you better start shaking your head yes. I'm always amazed at people that know more than the pastor or God or anything else. They know everything. Luke chapter 4. Luke 4 verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit sustained the humanity of Christ all throughout His earthly ministry. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about Him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised Him. He went to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day He went into the synagogue, as was His custom. And He stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to Him. Unrolling it, He found the place where it is written, and this is Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. That's Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the destitute. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's grace. Then He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, He was saying dogmatically, "I am the Messiah. All this prophesied about me in Isaiah, I'm the fulfillment of it, 100%. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So the ministry of the Spirit in sustaining the Messiah Christ was prophesied in the Old Testament, Isaiah 11, 2 and 3, Isaiah 42, 1, Isaiah 61, 1 to 3, and then Jesus Christ declared, He taught this and said, "This is fulfilled today in your hearing. I am the fulfillment of Isaiah 61, 1 to 3. 6. The Holy Spirit was given without measure. The Holy Spirit was given without measure. Unhindered filling of the Spirit, 100% to the humanity of Christ. John 3:34. John 3:34, "For He, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God the Father has sent, speaks the words of God, for He, God the Father, gives the Spirit to Him, Jesus Christ, without measure." He was indwelt and filled with the Spirit 100% of the time. So the Holy Spirit was given without measure, the constant, unhindered filling of the Spirit to the humanity of Christ, John 3:34. 7, the Holy Spirit sustained the humanity of Christ all throughout his earthly ministry. And we saw that in the Luke 4:14 and following passage. The Holy Spirit sustained the humanity of Christ during his earthly ministry. 8, the sustaining ministry of the Holy Spirit continued when Christ was bearing our sins on the cross. Hebrews 9, verse 14. The sustaining ministry of the Spirit continued when Christ was bearing our sins on the cross. Hebrews 9, 14. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. How much more then will the blood of Christ, the blood of Christ, his salvation work on the cross. When Christ was on the cross, all the sins of the world imputed to Christ on the cross and being judged by God the Father on the cross. That's the blood of Christ, his salvation work from 12 noon to 3 p.m. Who through the eternal Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, offered himself unblemished to God. God the Holy Spirit, through the power of the eternal Spirit, he was filled with the Spirit 100% of the time and during the salvation work of his salvation work on the cross. Then will the blood of Christ, his salvation work on the cross, who through the agency of the eternal Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from dead works so that we may serve the living God. 9, the Holy Spirit had a part in the resurrection of Christ. 1 Peter 3:18. The Holy Spirit had a part in the resurrection of Christ. 1 Peter 3:18. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ died for sins, all the sins of the world, once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, by the agency of God the Holy Spirit. Resurrection. 10, the same oil that was in the fine flour is in every church age believer today. The same oil that was in the fine flour is in every church age believer today. 11, the same Holy Spirit who sustained our Savior in his true humanity sustains us. The same Holy Spirit who sustained our Savior sustains us. Turn over to John chapter 7, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. John 7, verse 37 starts out, on the last and greatest day of the feast, this is the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And this is, by the way, true invitation. Jesus Christ invites the world to come to him. How do you come to Christ? Well, he says in the next line, whoever believes in me. That's how you come to Christ. You don't invite Christ to you. You don't invite Christ into your heart. You don't invite Christ into your life. Christ invites you to come to him. That's grace. And how do you come to him? By faith in Jesus Christ. So he says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me, grace invitation, and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. And by this he meant the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Not now. It's not the church age. Church age doesn't begin till Pentecost. First of all is his, he goes to the cross, his salvation work on the cross, his death, burial, resurrection. He was resurrected in a resurrection body 40 days on the earth, then ascended and seated at the right hand of the Father for 10 days. And at Pentecost, day 50, the church age began on Pentecost. And there we have the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in every church age believer. The base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, so that you can also be sustained in your humanity by the God, the Holy Spirit. So by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Pentecost. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. The glorification of Christ is his resurrection, ascension, session, seated at the right hand of God the Father. Now he is glorified at the right hand of the Father. And on Pentecost, the church age begins and the Spirit of God is given to us. Fantastic grace provision for us in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. And then turn over to John 16. John 16. And Jesus Christ is the one who is teaching all of these things and prophesying these things to the royal family of God, the body of Christ in the church age. Verse 13, but when the Spirit of doctrine, I love this title of God the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of doctrine, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. So the same Holy Spirit that sustained our Savior in his true humanity sustains the royal family of God in the church age. John 7:37 to 39, John 16:13 and 14. So Leviticus 2:1, again in this verses 1 to 16, this great section on the gift offering, the minka offering. Verse 1 says, his offering shall be of fine flour, representing the impeccability, the sinless perfection of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And he shall pour oil on it, emphasizing the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was sustained 100% of the time by God the Holy Spirit. And he will put frankincense on it. All right. Well, a couple of things. One, frankincense was one of the greatest and the most expensive perfume in the ancient world. The most expensive perfume in the ancient world. Now, you know, at Christmas time, every day's Christmas for you, I'm sure. But I've gone out to look at perfume. Perfume is in a little, real perfume. Little tiny, puny little bottle. And it costs $5 million. Then you got toilet water. It's not frankincense, but I can afford it. So Debbie has lots of toilet water. But this is the most expensive perfume in the ancient world. Two, it denotes the satisfying effect of Christ's salvation work on the cross in propitiating the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God the Father. It denotes the satisfying effect of Christ's salvation work on the cross in propitiating the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God the Father. So the frankincense emphasizes propitiation. Three, the Lord Jesus Christ satisfied the righteous demands of a holy God. He satisfied the righteousness of the Father because he was absolute righteousness. He satisfied the justice of the Father by bearing our sins and the judgment for those sins in his body on the cross. So the Lord Jesus Christ satisfied the righteous demands of a holy God. Now look at Leviticus chapter 2. Verses 2 and 3. And take it to Aaron's sons, the priests, and the priests shall take a handful of the fine flour and oil, together with all the frankincense, and burn this as the memorial portion on the altar, an offering made by fire, an aroma pleasing to the Lord, propitiation, satisfying the holiness of God the Father. The rest of the gift offering belongs to Aaron and his sons. It is a most holy part of the offerings made to the Lord by fire. The Minka, or gift offering, pictured the believing Jews' approach to God based on the merits of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, one, salvation is a personal matter. Salvation is a personal matter. And therefore, the handful of the mixture of flour and oil and frankincense symbolized the offerer's appropriation of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Then the offerer handed the priest the flour, the oil, and the frankincense to be burned on the altar. Two, so the gift offering is a shadow, showing us that Christ not only provided us with salvation by his spiritual death on the cross, but he also provided a pattern for living the unique spiritual life. So the gift offering is a shadow showing us that Christ not only provided us with salvation by his spiritual death on the cross, propitiating the righteousness and justice of the Father, but he also provided a pattern for living the unique spiritual life. Three, The oil on the flower foreshadowed the Lord Jesus Christ living the very first unique spiritual life. By the power of the filling of the Spirit and metabolized doctrine in his heart. The oil on the flower foreshadowed the Lord Jesus Christ living the very first unique spiritual life. By the power of the filling of the Spirit and metabolized doctrine in his heart. Four, the burning of the gift offering not only teaches that Christ provided salvation by his spiritual death on the cross, but it also foreshadowed another church age doctrine, retroactive and current positional truth as a part of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The burning of the gift offering not only teaches that Christ provided salvation by his spiritual death on the cross, but it also foreshadowed another church age doctrine, retroactive and current positional truth. Retroactive and current positional truth is the identification of every believer with the Lord Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. We have this coming up in Romans chapter 6. Romans 6:4 says, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is salvation, faith in Christ, into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life, current positional truth. So we have both retroactive and current positional truth in Romans 6:4. Point five. That part of the gift offering which remained and was to be eaten by the priests speaks of fellowship with God based exclusively on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That part of the gift offering which remained and was to be eaten by the priests speaks of fellowship with God based exclusively on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Six. Every church age believer who lives a spiritual life and attains spiritual maturity, occupation with Christ, knows the happiness of fellowshipping with the Lord Jesus Christ, who has made himself at home in his heart. Every church age believer who lives a spiritual life and attains spiritual maturity, occupation with Jesus Christ, knows the happiness of fellowshipping with the Lord Jesus Christ, who has made himself at home in his heart. Occupation with Jesus Christ, the other side of the coin, is sharing the happiness of God, self-contained happiness. And that is what God wants for every single one of you. The greatest of all the commandments, Jesus Christ said, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. That's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. When that is true, the other side of the coin, self-contained happiness. You have Christmas every single day. And I look at some of you, you don't have any Christmas. God's plan is for you to have Christmas every single day, Thanksgiving every single day. Some of you, you have Halloween every day. And you walk in here with a Halloween look. I know, I do too. How do you like my mask? Pretty good. I'm all set up for Halloween. I'm going to be or go out as Pastor Olson, scare the crap out of everybody. But that's not what God... When you get to that point where you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, you'll have Christmas every day. You'll have Thanksgiving every day. You'll share the happiness of God No matter what's going on. I don't care. It doesn't matter what's going on. I mean, I went to get gas today. I had to go home because I have to wait till they pay me. No, I'm just kidding. Went to get gas. I stuck the card in. And it says, "Nah, we have a problem with your card. Take it out. Put it in again. Nah, we have a problem with your card. Go see the cashier." So I go in. I said, "The pump told me to come and see you. I would like to get some gas." "Well, how much do you want?" I said, "I want to fill it up." "Well, how much is that?" I said, "I don't know. I'm not God. I can't figure that out." Well, I thought I didn't say it. I thought, "You must be a Democrat." I said, "You know, I'll make it real easy on you. I'll just drive to another gas station. It'll be no problem. And then, Merry Christmas, by the way. There's nothing like spending $150 on putting gas in the Hummer. My Hummer uses gas different than what you put in yours. And it has a 35-gallon tank. When I fill it up, $150. Merry Christmas. So, do you have Christmas every day? No matter what's going on? What's going on in America? What's going on in Las Vegas? What's going on at work? What's going on in your marriage? What's going on in your family? Do you have Christmas every day? If you don't, then that's a warning sign for you. That's a warning sign for you. You need to wake up. Because the plan of God is for you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. When you do that, you'll have happiness. Self-contained happiness. You'll have Christmas and Thanksgiving every single day. So every church-age believer who lives a spiritual life and attains spiritual maturity and occupation with Christ knows the happiness of fellowshipping with the Lord Jesus Christ, who has made himself at home in his heart. 7. The gift offering provided some of the basic necessities of life for the Levitical priests. In the age of Israel, it was a specialized priesthood, the tribe of Levi. And this included the priests had food as well. Part of what belonged to God also belonged to them. In the age of Israel, the Levitical priesthood was highly specialized. While in the church age, we have a universal priesthood. You're here as a believer in Jesus Christ. You're a priest. You are a royal priest. You're a part of the royal priesthood of the church age. Every church age believer is a royal priest. Jesus Christ is our royal high priest. Since we share the priesthood, we are a kingdom of royal priests. 8. It is God's plan that the believer priest of the church age be sustained by the spiritual food of Bible doctrine, God's truth revealed in the God-breathed scriptures. It is God's plan that the believer priest of the church age, and you're all a royal, part of the royal priesthood, it's God's plan that the believer priest of the church age be sustained by the spiritual food of Bible doctrine, the God-breathed scriptures of the church age. Hebrews 6:5, and we have tasted the noble doctrine from God. 9. It is God's plan that the believer priest of the church age be sustained spiritually. And therefore, he provided the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher to feed him Bible doctrine. It is God's plan that the believer priest of the church age be sustained spiritually, and therefore he provided the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher in the post-canon period of the church age, from 96 A.D. to the rapture, to feed him Bible doctrine. Now, if you could read the Bible on your own and grow, I'd be the first one to tell you, and I'd kick your little patooties out of here and say, go home and read the Bible and grow. But you can't. And so, God has given the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. So it's God's plan that the believer priest of the church age be sustained spiritually, and therefore he provided the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher to feed him Bible doctrine. 10. The consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine develops personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ, which results in maximum fellowship with God and sharing the happiness of God. The consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine develops personal love for God and occupation with Jesus Christ, which results in maximum fellowship with God and sharing the happiness of God. All right. Now, in that section in Leviticus 2, 1 to 16... then in verses 4 through 10, we have the categories. There are three different categories of the baked gift offerings. In verse 4, we have the oven offering. In verses 5 and 6, we have the griddle offering. In verses 7 through 10, we have the pan offering. So three different offerings. In Leviticus 2, 4 through 10. Leviticus 2, 4, the oven offering. Leviticus 2, 5 and 6, the griddle offering. Leviticus 2, 7 through 10, the pan offering. Leviticus 2, 4, we have the oven offering. Leviticus 2, verse 4 says, if you bring a gift offering baked in an oven, it is to consist of fine flour, cakes made without yeast, no leaven. Without yeast means no leaven. Leaven represented sin, and of course this offering represents the Lord Jesus Christ in sinless perfection, impeccability. So it's to consist of fine flour, the impeccability of Jesus Christ, cakes made without yeast, which represents leaven, he is sinless perfection, and mixed with oil, he is sustained by God the Holy Spirit, or wafers made without yeasts, which represents sin, and spread with oil. All right, now, we're going to take a look at this, because this is really cool. This picture by shadow Christology, what it taught was absolutely awesome. And there were those believers with humility and positive volition who learned about the Messiah, Jesus Christ, from these offerings. Learned about it. They believed in him as their Savior. They grew up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And this was reality. And they were motivated by Bible doctrine in their soul to bring a free will offering, a gift offering to the Lord Jesus Christ. The sad thing in Joel's day, there were a lot of people still bringing gift offerings, but it was ritual without reality. We'll take a look at this next time. Father, we thank you for your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.